In a world of EMS podcasters, EMS Office Hours is the only live podcast bringing you the latest topics and opinions in EMS. Turn down your scanner and turn up your speakers as we join Jim Hoffman and Josh Knapp on their latest EMS podcasting journey.
Welcome to EMS Office Hours. I am Jim Hoffman.
And this is Josh Knapp.
Josh is joining me. We had a little hiatus from each other on the show here, so I'm glad Josh was able to make some time and get on the show and start doing some more co-host sort of episodes. Guys, if this is your first time listening or you have not had a chance yet, please use one of the buttons that you should see on this page here that says Apple Store or iTunes or whatever, and go take 2 minutes, 3 minutes, go to iTunes, leave us a review and a rating. It only takes a few minutes, but it really helps the show out, because unless the reviews and the ratings are active, our ranking in iTunes slowly drops.
And you won't hear us.
And you won't hear us. And the fact is that I actually had to change the inner workings of the podcast with iTunes, which ended up erasing all the ratings and reviews we had on the old podcast.
Yeah, why did you do that, Jim?
I had to do it because the network we were on before ended up closing, and when I was trying to work with iTunes to do it, you know, iTunes got a little confused on what I wanted, and
you sure it wasn't just to get rid of the bad reviews?
No, there wasn't any bad reviews.
I thought we had like a ton of bad reviews. We don't talk about, you know, how to properly insert an IV or, you know, what endotracheal tube is the best.
Well, I was trying to, you know, well, like we always say in the show, it's not necessarily an educational podcast. If you want education in EMS, try the EM Crit podcast. They'll educate the shit out of you.
Yeah.
We're more of the...
They'll tell you the right way, how the wrong way is right. The right way.
A little more like the front and back of the bus.
Because when you're, stuff. You know, when you have a endotracheal tube in your hand and you have the laryngoscope in your other hand, always be sure to hold out your pinky like you're drinking tea.
Yeah. Well, it makes you a paramedic automatically when you have that.
That's right. You know, you got to look like you own it. So, exactly. Yeah, we won't show you or teach you any of that crap here.
Yeah. Right. We'll complain about it, but we're not going to teach it.
100%.
Yeah.
Because this whole podcast, just to review, because, you know, we're not teaching you anything, but we're going to review. This whole right. podcast is not actually to educate you in a, well, I was about to say clinical format, but that doesn't really count, especially with Dave. Involved.
No, we, you know, listen,
talk about clinical.
Yeah, over the years, we've covered some clinical stuff, and we've had some heated discussions about that with other guests that we've had on the show. But I always tell people, you know, we're not going to give you the A to Z sort of take on something. There's a lot of places you can get that. You're going to get it from my main website at emsseo.com. You can get it from, you know, EMS One probably. You can get it from many of the continuing education, you know, websites that are out there. So
I prefer your page, EMS SEO.
Yeah, me too. But, yeah. You know, but the thing is, we're not going to, you know, people can go to those types of websites.
All right. So
Life in the Fast Lane is one that has a lot of educational stuff, especially when it comes to EKGs and stuff. But we'll discuss some clinical stuff because it does relate to how we discuss things with each other in the ambulance.
Like when we talk about education, not in terms of educating you, but where is education in EMS today?
Yeah.
What is it? Where is it falling down for us? You know, where is it not?
I'll tell you, Josh, that's one of the things I want to talk about today. Sort of. But I wanted to kind of get your take on. This is something I was speaking to my partner about recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about partners in EMS. So me personally, I've been in EMS for a while, and or for a minute, as they say. I've been in EMS for a minute.
Yeah.
For a minute, you know.
Well, then I count for a whole, 30, 45 seconds?
Right, exactly.
I'm right behind you.
But the thing is you get assigned partners or you get a partner in EMS, you don't always mesh with that person. Or you've heard things about that person and you go into the shift and the partnership with sort of preconceived notion that this other person is a poor
anticipation, they're an idiot.
Yeah, you know, they don't know what they're doing, or they're too anal about stuff, or you know, they're not a good people person, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I've found over the years, and I don't know if you kind of see this too, Josh, but when I work with people that, even someone that I work on a temporary basis, right? I don't know the person, but I know I'm going to be working with them for a few weeks because my main partner might be on vacation or might be injured or something like that, right? When you start working with that person, I always find that I end up meshing with them better once we have one or two serious calls. Once you have a cardiac arrest with them, a major trauma call with them, STEMI call with them, I tend to mess with them better because then now I feel, there's sort of this bonding that happened on that call.
100%.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You have to sort of ride through the gauntlet a little bit.
Yeah.
You can trust the other person.
What I do find, though, is if I end up not getting a call critical enough soon enough, and I'm doing a lot of nonsense calls, right, and I have a preconceived notion about somebody or I've heard negative things about somebody, I start to pick apart that person, you know, as we start doing – more and more mundane calls, you know, like, why did you do an EKG in that person? They didn't need EKG. Why did you give that person oxygen? Or why didn't we carry that person? They should have been carried. Why did you walk them for? You should have put a collar on that person. We should have taken them to this hospital, that hospital. You know what I mean?
Right.
I start trying to find the negative things that I've heard from other people. Probably subconsciously even, sort of seeing these things go on when you're doing the mundane calls.
Right, but you're trying to anticipate then almost, I hate to use this word, but fabricate an outcome, you know?
Right, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy that I'm kind of making happen with someone that doesn't necessarily deserve it. And I've learned over the years not to do that. I've learned over the years not to kind of go into that and not take what people say to me as gospel and form my own opinion 100%.
Now, that's hard to do, though. I mean,
it is. I mean, I've always formed my own opinion to begin with, but there is that sort of that level of like you said, that anticipation, that preconceived notion that you're human, you can't help it, right? You can't help it. You can't go in there with a blank slate in your head when you've heard this person is X, Y, and Z. You know, I had a partner years ago when I was in Brooklyn. Everybody hated this guy. You know, I didn't like when I was a supervisor. I used to butt heads with this guy all the time. And then I became a medic, and we would keep bumping heads, and he was, you know, always, you know, causing issues. His partner didn't like him because she felt he was a weak paramedic. Then I started working with the guy, right? Mm-hmm. And I slowly, you know, I go into it like, this is not going to happen. People asking me, oh my God, how are you going to deal with him? What are you going to do? All he wants to do is drive. He doesn't do patient care. And I was like, no, the first day I'm going to set the expectations.
Right.
Of who's, you know, how are we working the calls and who's driving and who's teching and who's doing what, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, he wasn't the strongest paramedic, but he knew the protocols. He knew skills. you know, he might not have been the best clinician trying to read what was going on with a patient, but, you know, I didn't, you know, I didn't come away with the level of negativity that other people had. I felt other people had way too high of an expectation. And I think that is part of the problem that we end up having, that we go into a partnership with somebody thinking that other person is going to be just like us. They're going to be as clinically, you know, aware as we are, or as good at IVs, or as good at, you know, 12 lead interpretation as we are.
Yeah, but one of the things that you're sort of not really giving credence to or addressing, I guess, is that we all approach, we even though we are taught the same skills and the same the clinical aspects of diagnosis and signs and symptoms and all that, we all approach it slightly from a different angle.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're hypersensitive to somebody, and let's take it completely out of the medical world and just say you're mixing up condensed orange juice, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are some people, and
that's delicious.
Well, you know, I mean, there's some people like Tang.
And it's cheap.
But do you recall the days of frozen orange juice?
Yeah.
The can, right?
You add water to it to stir it up, and now you got real orange juice.
Right. But if we broke that down, and I may be dating myself, I'm sure there are people listening to this podcast right now and saying, what's frozen orange juice?
Yeah. I think they still have it, but it's not like, you know, as prevalent, I think, as it used to be.
Yeah, because everything's instantaneous now. We don't need
it. Yeah, exactly. Frozen.
Right.
Mix that shit up. What are you, crazy?
Mix it? It's too complicated to mix.
Yeah.
I was looking for old-fashioned pancakes, you know, the ones you add milk and eggs to.
Yeah, yeah.
So all I could find were the water ones, you know, add a cup of water. I mean, it's disgusting stuff. But going back to the orange juice, I may pop off both ends of that can and wait for the whole sauce, sort of that cylindrical frozen juice, to plop out into the pitcher,
mm-hmm.
where you may take a spoon and scoop it out and mix it up in the pitcher.
Yeah.
Now, neither way is wrong. We're both going to be making orange juice. We're not going to be making a mess. It's going to be fine. You know, everything is going to be equal to that. But I may look at you and say, why are you doing that? You're going to leave a little bit of juice at the bottom of the can.
Yeah.
And you may look at me and say, look at you, you're making a mess, because now there's no, you can't hold any water in the can. You can't use the can as a
That's pack. What I would say. I'd say, I'm using the can to measure my water, and then the water will loosen up whatever.
Okay, stay with me. This is a slightly circular, okay? But stay with me on this. If you're hypersensitive that yours is the only correct way to make juice, then no matter what I do,
right,
I'm going to be doing it wrong.
Exactly.
And if you start out with that preconceived notion and the person makes a mistake, oh man, that's double death right there. I mean, you know, there's hardly ever a recovery from that. That person's an idiot. Can you believe they made a left turn and then they put on their signal into the turn instead of, everybody knows you're supposed to put your signal on before or, you know.
Well, that's part of, I think, the whole thing, too, that we're talking about. It's not even just patient care. It's the way somebody drives. It's the way that they, you know, drive you to the hospital, to the call, you know. Everything ties in. And I don't know. I like I said, going back to what I first mentioned, I feel that when you are able to bond with that person, you know, and an EMS way of bonding of, you know, doing a critical call with them. And I think you start to realize that, like you just said, sort of their way. It might not be your way, but it's still an acceptable way. You know, the job is still getting done. No one's getting hurt. The patient's not being affected by it. You know, and it just ends up being you having to be a professional and you having to be somebody who has to take a step back and say, okay, wait a second. Maybe I'm going into this, you know, the wrong way. I'm looking at this the wrong way.
Isn't that the art of being a professional? So let's turn it away from your partner. You have a patient. How many times have you in your career had a patient that didn't like you? You know, and it was through no fault of your own, nothing you could do. That patient was just mad at the world. They had a situation going and they didn't like you. And on the flip side is, you know, the ones that like you and laugh at all your jokes, you look like a genius at the end because you're bringing them in. They're all happy. They're looking forward to the next, you know, 24 hours in the emergency room.
Yeah. But,
you know, when, you know, and those are the easy ones for most people. If you get along with your patient and have a rapport and think of, you know, I think of again, we don't discuss clinical, right? We don't discuss how to start an IV. But part of your rapport with your patient is clinical, right? So I guess we're graying the lines there because it is important to establish a rapport with your patient. You can't diagnose anything. You can't figure it out. It's like EMT school 101, right?
Right.
So what happens when you try everything in your toolbox and you get nowhere? What do? Do you all of a sudden just throw your shit down and say, I ain't doing this, I can't do this? No, you have a professional, mature attitude and you say, all right, we'll work around these obstacles.
Right.
Going back to your partner who you find difficult or you've heard all of these things about, it doesn't even matter if they're proven out or not. You're there to do a tour. And unless you're seriously, you know, in concern about your own safety or your partner's safety or the patient's safety, suck it up.
Well, that's the thing too. That's also another part of it where there are times when you end up working with somebody that some of what you heard and what you anticipated actually becomes the truth. Right?
Right.
And like you said,
what do you do?
Unless there's an issue with patient care or safety, things like that, there's not much you can do besides try to figure a way to get along, to coexist, or change, you know, your shift.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Me personally, I would always end up terrorizing that person until they left, and then I would win, but that's me, you know.
And people try that. I mean, you know, we have a lot of, I don't want to, buggy social protocols. Can you run with that? In the sense that, you know, it's like, actually, let me back off that because I don't like where my train of thought is taking me. when you're having difficulty with somebody in the outside world, and I have to say it's really EMS is a world onto its own. So when you're there are some people who, if you're driving in rush hour traffic and you're bumper to bumper, will sit there and scream at somebody else if they blow their horn. And other people will just turn the radio a little bit louder and ignore it, right?
Yeah.
There's a maturity into how they react. And I think that some of the things that are missing in our EMS education, and one of the problems with our foundation is that a lot of people start in EMS really, really young, and then they stay in it. And I think that you know, when you start in something very, very young and you really don't get how other people in other situations operate, and you haven't gotten that breadth of experience, it becomes very, you don't have the tools in your toolbox.
You need to go to the job. You mean like working another job?
Yeah, working another job. or, you know, just working your way, you know, up. You know, you leave high school, you get a job, maybe you get a job in a construction place or a warehouse or a supermarket or fast food or delivery, you know, something. And you interact with other people at all levels of life and all places. Mm-hmm. Once you get into sort of the bubble of EMS, you really sort of fall into that first responder category. And you don't, you know, people always love to go, you know, oh, tell us about your worst job ever. And there are even lots of memes and lots of discussion about, you know, what you can talk about in EMS, outside EMS. But the truth of the matter is we deal with, you know, rather sensitive subject and rather, you know, in a rather sensitive world. And it becomes very hard to share our experiences, our worries, our doubts, our, you know, the humor outside of that world. So we don't, we sort of stay in the bubble. It's a comfort place. We associate with one another. We hang out with one another.
When we talk about bonding with partners, that's another way that a lot of people do as well. They trade stories, right?
Right.
Oh, I had a patient one time who was so fat, this, or I had, you know, 12 dead kids at one time. I had a call once that was a bus overturned. It was full of nuns, and I was laying on top of a pile of puppies. And
right, right.
So everybody sort of has their story.
And you're on, you know, you're on the descriptive end of the horror stories. You know, right. I mean, I've had jobs that have gotten printed in the newspaper because they were horrendous murders.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, you have the newborn delivery of the, you know, of the happy mother. You have, you know, the little kid with asthma who, you know, you give a little neb treatment and they're all happy and starting to play. So there's a lot of fun stuff that happens. It's not all horror that you have to decompress or de-stress about.
So I guess, you know, I guess the answer ends up being that, you know, it goes back to
your maturity,
being that professional.
Right.
Being mature, not having the pre-existing opinion, and trying to, like you said, you know, you go back to the orange juice thing, right? I'm actually going to put on the name of this podcast that title, you know, a concentrated orange juice. but I think
but you have an open mind.
You're back to that of your way, their way, the right way, and the wrong way, and where kind of everybody fits in to that. And as long as there really isn't an actual, true, wrong way happening that can be detrimental to you or the patient or even coming back on the agency you're working for, you know, you can be a professional, you can work through it, you can see, I guess, what is it, that silver lining of the situation.
But I think there's something that we haven't touched on that's even more important than that. How about you, you know, try to create a bridge, like what, going back to the difficult patient, right? The one that won't. Do you just give up on them? Of course not. You continue to try to build a bridge of communications with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not saying that everybody that you sit in the seat, you know, sits in the seat next to you in an EMS situation is going to end up being your best buddy or friends.
Yeah.
But you can find common ground. You can find things that you both want to talk about and then build from there. Use the tools that you do have that you sort of naturally come to the job with. And don't let immaturity get in your way. Don't let hearsay, if you've never worked with that person, you're hearing all these horrible things. Although it's hard, hold back judgment, or try to divert to, you know, an area that, you know, you're both comfortable in.
Yeah. One thing that I will say, just to sort of wrap up this topic, Josh, is one thing that I've learned in something that an agency that I've worked for promoted was whether you're working with somebody brand new just for the day that you don't know, you're maybe nothing about, or you're working with somebody on a permanent basis that now you've got to figure out where they're coming from and how they operate on calls and how they treat patients and stuff like that, is to, you know, be blunt in the manner of saying, hey, man, you know, where are you at today? You know, because sometimes the way somebody might act might not necessarily be the way they always act, right? It could be they're having some problems at home, issues with kids, issues with bills, stuff like that. And to kind of give them an opportunity to say, I don't really feel like, I'm not feeling the job today. Or I'm not feeling this today. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that certainly is way harder when you're...
Yeah, it kind of gives you an opportunity to see where they're coming from, so you're almost prepared if you're not getting that person's best that day, you know.
Right.
Now, of course, you're getting that same situation day after day, then it can become a problem. But
well, that's really hard as well because, yeah, you know, you have getting past first impressions,
right,
reinforcing first impressions, reinforcing hearsay, and all of those things. And it really falls back on you. I hate to repeat myself on this, but you got to go in with an open mind. You got to just, yeah, and I can't say that I'm always innocent of this. You know, this is not like, yeah,
I don't think anybody is. And I think anyone that tells you that they are is full of shit.
Exactly. You know? Thank you.
And you'll have people who listen to this podcast and jump up on their high horse and look down and say, no, I'm always the professional. I always give everybody the benefit of the doubt. I don't go with preconceived notions. And that's bullshit, because anyone that I've ever worked with has had preconceived notions about me. You know what I mean? Or someone has said to me about somebody who, let's say, gets hired at an agency, oh my God, that guy, I heard about him. You know, he does this, or she does that, or she can't drive, or she can't lift, or he can't. You know what I mean? And, mm-hmm, and you know, I've never heard ever anybody that I've worked with or supervised or been friends with that have gotten a new partner or is working with somebody one day that they don't necessarily like or they've heard shit about that person, say, well, I'm going to go into an open mind and I love everybody and it's going to be a great day with this person because, you know, I'm always professional and I'm always open-minded. I don't judge, which is bullshit. Everybody judges, you know. It's a matter, like we said before, I think, of being professional and keeping that judgment, keeping those preconceived notions at arm's length until proven otherwise. You know?
Yeah. Again, easier said than done.
It is. I'm not saying it's an easy thing. And this is why we go back to this podcast, right? This is why we sort of do this podcast, because I feel it's a way to get that conversation going, that maybe someone listening to this that might be experiencing that, or is having a problem with somebody they're working with, or maybe is going to be getting hired someplace new, and you know someone's talking shit about you.
You know, we've both been working this job for a few years now, you know, and we're both in this situation. I recently changed positions at my organization, so now I'm working with more various people on different buses. I'm filling in here and there, so I get a real variety of characters to work with.
Yeah,
and it is not the easy. The interpersonal relationships are not the easy part of the job, and I don't want to paint it that way, any shape or form.
Yeah.
What I do want to sort of point to, though, is we all know those guys who are really popular on the bus, you know, who, you know, everybody in the station house, you know, looks to or likes to work with, or, you know, that's going to be an easy tour. And you got to look at the behaviors that these people generally exhibit. And you're going to probably find that they're relatively, they don't talk a lot, and they don't talk negatively. And this is something we've done podcasts on before, the negativity and the bad mouthing that goes on in the mess. But part of our job is not to take hearsay and spread it on. I mean, if you have a one-on-one and you need to talk with somebody else about something that happened on that job, You know, there used to be this old saying of what happens on the bus stays on the bus. I'm not sure how many people adhere to, you know, some of those things, but maybe a revisit to some of that old stuff is not a bad thing. But the important takeaway is don't be running your mouth. Don't be talking about people that you don't know. Don't be spreading, you know, these are just basic human behaviors. And if you look back to the guy who everybody sort of likes and everything, you will probably find that they're not like that, that they don't just spread rumors and innuendo. They don't talk about other people. They try to keep, you know, a smile on their face, and they that's why your tour goes well, because you're sitting there with that person and you feel like you're respected and liked.
Right, and that goes back to, again, being that professional, and when you do that, that other person is going to be more receptive to what you're saying. Whether
and guess what? It makes your tour easier, too.
Of course.
If you can get over and just bridge that gap between that other person who may have heard shit from you, or you may have heard is the worst person in the universe, but if you can get some sort of working relationship, 9 times out of 10, the tour will fly by, because you'll both be getting along and you won't be fighting about every little thing and you won't be watching each other for every little thing.
Right. Well, Josh, let's wrap that up. Again, anyone, comments, concerns, send us an email if you want. You can send it to contact@emsofficehours.com. Leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. Like I said, that really, really helps the show out. We'll take a 1-star. Prefer a 5-star, of course, and leave us some feedback there.
But come on, be proactive. Do it. Yeah. You're sitting here listening to this thing. It's a couple of clicks away. Just click on it and do it, for crying out loud.
It just takes two, 3 minutes to get that done. It really does help us out. And that's the only fee we ask, right, to this show.
We've been doing this show for relatively free out of our own pocket, mostly out of your pocket, Jim, for over 10 years now.
Yep.
And there's a reason that we're staying with it, because we give a damn and we care.
Yeah. And I get a lot of great feedback from people with the show. And I get people are a little hesitant. They don't want to put their neck out and have like a public review, you know, out there.
But the hell with that, be counted.
Exactly. All right, Josh, that's it for this episode. Again, I appreciate you joining me again. Anyone with comments, concerns, don't forget, you can send an email to us. You can leave it on the Facebook page. It's facebook.com/theEMSprofessional. Or you can catch me on Instagram. You can catch me on Snapchat. Any of the social media platforms. I'd love to engage and interact with you guys. All right, so that's it. Until next time, as always, I am Jim Hoffman.
Josh Knapp.
For EMS Office Hours, guys, stay safe.